Welcome to the MedTech Moment, a new series from Morgan Stanley Research exploring the innovations, technologies, and catalysts shaping the global medical technology industry. In this podcast, we'll touch on key developments, analyze data, dissect big picture trends, and provide tactical views to help navigate the intricacies of this dynamic sector. And this week's MedTech Moment podcast, I'll be interviewing Rafael Mazuz of Diligence Wound Care Global. We'll be having a really good chat about the advanced wound care markets, Solventum, all of those key competitors, and what the outlook for growth is going forward. So, you know, big thank you for joining us, Rafael.
Amazing. Thank you, Patrick, for having me and hosting me here at Morgan Stanley.
I love it. So just quick question, you know, maybe for those who are less familiar with your background on Diligence Wound Care Global, you know, what the business is doing and how you fit into the wound care landscape overall.
Sure. So we're a specialty advisory firm focusing 100% on the wound care space. You know, I got my start a little bit differently. I'm not a physician or a nurse, but I started by opening and managing hospital-based wound care centers in the US. So I was the customer for all the med tech products. The sales rep would walk in the door, you know, I'd know them, and then they'd bring their VP or CEO for a sales ride along, and kind of assessing those products from that perspective, not from a spreadsheet, but from what are we buying, what are we using, how are they reimbursed, is that important? And then spinning off an advisory with that as kind of the cornerstone.
We were having, before the podcast, we were having an interesting discussion about how, you know, the wound care market overall is quite different from therapeutics and a lot of other devices in how the patients are treated and how you think about modeling or indeed not modeling it. I mean, maybe some color there might be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we work with a lot of investors, helping them wrap their heads around, you know, whether they're diligencing a deal or just to understand the market in general. And I feel that over the years, probably the biggest mistake that I see them making or the biggest challenge, and these are brilliant people, they're super smart, but when they look at wound care and they come from pharma or they come from another area of med tech, and they're thinking about it like, okay, let's look at knee replacement hardware or pacemakers. So how many procedures are there? All right, 1 million procedures, and each one uses 1.6 devices. And how's that growing? And they try to put wound care into that bucket. Now, there is a market for antimicrobials and negative pressure wound therapy and all that, but it's not quite the same. When you have a diabetic foot ulcer or a surgical wound, you don't need a negative pressure the same way that you need an orthopedic screw in an orthopedic trauma case. And it's not crazy or malpractice for a physician or a nurse to reach for, you know, one type of dressing over another, or to use a negative pressure or not, or to use gauze. I mean, definitely there are certain cases where things are better or worse, but it's really difficult to put it in that bucket. So when I think of wound care, of course, you have all these different products, but I think, you know, it's important to avoid the urge that this is not like a product that you must have to complete a procedure. You have hundreds of products and you can use them for different times in different cases. And it's a bit different in that sense.
Totally. I think it's easy for us in the financial community to lose track of that side of things and want to put everything in a spreadsheet. I mean, in context of that, obviously the news at the moment in the wound care space is Solventum having spun out of 3M, new player to the market. I know you had some history, obviously, with Acelity and with the business before. I'm just curious, any initial thoughts on their offering within negative pressure and dressings and the strategic direction that business could take going forward?
Yeah, that's a really interesting case. I mean, obviously, I was Acelity and KCI's customer for many years. And then at some point, we were working with them years ago, yeah, to help them find and manage distributors in certain regions of the world. And now, you know, over the last, since 3M acquired them, it's been this weird thing. And of course, to the spinoff now, where every time, you know, when we work with smaller companies, startups or small, medium businesses, with potentially innovative products that could be good for their portfolio, understandably, it's just been tough because they had indigestion from the Acelity deal for some years and they're integrating that. And then once they decided they're spinning off to Solventum, the healthcare division, well, we're not going to do anything until that happens. And now, you know, understandably, new management team, they got to get their head around that business. So I just feel that, I'm cautiously optimistic about their future. And we do need to give the management team time to kind of get their head around the wound care space and see what they have and where they need to go. But certainly it was like a blackout for a few years of not really being able to, even if something would have aligned or some interesting opportunities, just going from one thing to the other, not really being able to do anything major. And so, and also a lot of key people left in that time, which happens. But so I think that it needs like a reset period for them. And there's still a lot of opportunities. It's still, you know, they're still a major player, but definitely the last few years, they were not progressing in the right direction because of all the organizational things going on.
And, you know, they've been very strong, obviously, in the more capital equipment, traditional negative pressure side, but not really particularly present in disposable, which is the kind of faster growing end of the market. That's kind of been Pico really for Smith & Nephew. I'm just, you know, why do you think that is? You know, they did that Snap acquisition. Any thoughts on that and pivoting to that faster growing segment of the market at all?
The Snap acquisition for Acelity at the time, then 3M, was a defensive play. They saw it encroaching on their, potentially encroaching on their negative pressure business. And people said, why do I need your big capital equipment when I can use this in some cases for some wounds? Whereas Smith & Nephew's Pico was, I think, a bit more precise and saying, okay, we're going to go after this type of wound, surgical site incisions especially. And they were able to really create a new market for single-use negative pressure. So that was important. Now, I do think that's a really good point about the capital equipment. Many or most of the large and mid-sized wound care players, they don't want to touch capital equipment, just like they don't want to touch drugs, for example, even though it could be helpful. 3M is okay. They're comfortable with it. They have, you know, once you have some equipment, and Smith & Nephew also OR equipment and the negative pressure as well, and they have their VersaJet, Misonix, which was bought by Bioventus, they also have, you know, once you're in those handful of people, players, that is not intimidated by having something that has wheels, you know, or something that costs more than a few hundred dollars to replace if it breaks, and that maybe you need to offer some kind of aftermarket sale, a service or something, that's great, because there's a lot of really cool technologies out there. There's cold plasma, there's, you know, many different things that have an equipment component. And so not every company that has what we call, you know, potions and lotions, they have the bandages, the ointment, it's hard for them to go into equipment if they're intimidated. But that's a big opportunity for 3M or Solventum now, because that doesn't give them a panic attack to go into that space. And that would be exciting potentially to go into that more.
Super helpful. I mean, the other topic, I know you were at EWMA recently, and the other topic that seems to come up a lot is the recent LCD changes in the biologics market. Thoughts on what's going on there, the impact and the future of that market overall?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting market. It really, you know, what happened was back in the day, like, I don't know, maybe the 80s or the 90s or something, you know, before I was involved, they got a couple of these products reimbursed in the US. And so in the decades since then, you know, probably at the time when they got them reimbursed, some accountant was probably saying, oh, this will be like, you know, $1 million a year or $20 million a year. They didn't realize it would be like a $2 to $3 billion a year industry. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, while I'm not like a regulator or a reimbursement expert, it was bound to happen eventually once it just the usage goes off the charts. And, you know, the changes were bound to happen. But to be fair, over the years, most of the time when they get announced, then they claw them back. They water them down or they delay them or they pause them. If that happens now, it could be business as usual. But it seems like something's a bit different. First of all, the LCDs, the local coverage determinations, those are the regional Medicare kind of rules. They spoke with one voice. So they all announced like together. And typically it's like, okay, the Southwest did one or Southern Texas or whatever. Now it was all of them announcing together. And so, you know, I think that that might be that the party's somewhat over. I don't think biologics will go away completely, but, you know, limiting the number of products that are reimbursed in this case, the maximum number of uses and really tightening down the rules for using them. This is massive. And I think it's going to be an issue for some of the players who were a bit later to the party. Because they weren't able to get an ROI off of these deals, and now they're getting hit with these new reimbursement rules.
Yeah, some awkward times for some acquisitions.
100%.
Maybe just to close us off, we've hit on biologics, we've hit on negative pressure. What about the more dressings market, the core of the advanced wound care market? There's obviously some big players there. How are you seeing the competitive environment? You know, who's doing a good job? Mölnlycke, you know, the others, and Solventum obviously has a small business there, but how do you see that landscape overall?
So yeah, that's actually the majority of the wound care space. It's just that it's like spread over hundreds of different products instead of, you know, a handful of products. And it's a tough one because a lot of the, first of all, that's the one that's bigger outside of the US than inside. So the US is roughly 50% of the $12 billion-ish $1 billion wound care market, product market, but it's skewed heavily towards the negative pressure, the biologics, and the drugs and all that. So this one is a bit more diversified outside of the US, which is probably a good thing. But the thing is that a lot of the IP expired in recent years. So a lot of the really interesting ones from 10, 20, 30 years ago, they're not IP protected. You see hundreds, if not thousands, of competitors, and it becomes very cost sensitive. So I think the dressings will continue to grow, but we see a lot of players coming out with good quality products, from China, from Korea, from Eastern Europe. In terms of who's doing well, I think, it's hard to say because everyone kind of has their niche, in terms of what dressings they're good at. I think Mölnlycke's done a very good execution, all things considered, that they didn't jump on the train of, every trend, of every product type. I think Smith & Nephew, perhaps Solventum, despite all the issues of organizationally, I think are doing well. Medline in the US is a huge player that people don't know about. But ones who are able to offer many categories and kind of get on these contracts are doing quite well or positioned to do quite well. And I think you have to do either of those. You have to either have a diverse portfolio where you can go into the hospital and replace, 30 different types of product at a good price point, or you have to be very, very focused around premium technologies. And the ones who try to straddle both of those are the ones who have not done as well.
Love it. Raphael, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all the insight.
Thank you for having me.
For more of our expert calls, click the links below the podcast. And thanks everybody for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please click on the link to follow our collection and get the latest episodes delivered direct to your inbox.